This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, it's 7:01 on the dot. Get to Tom Fridays for juicy steaks, meats, and more. Crowley, Jerry Dulac said on Wednesday that he thinks that Kenny Pickett should be benched for the rest of the season.
Yeah, this was really something. I was shocked whenever I read this. Let me get you what he said verbatim in a column on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette website. He said, "There's no question that you can't watch the film and think that the good outweighs the bad. I'm not picking on Pickett. I believe he will be a good quarterback. But he's not now because he's a rookie who's still learning. There is nothing wrong with sitting him down and letting him learn by watching, you know?"
Hmm.
So, first of all, we can peel this apart, right?
Yeah.
Because do you think that the bad outweighs the good with Kenny Pickett right now?
I don't.
I think it's at least even.
Yeah.
Which I think is to be expected out of a rookie quarterback. So that's the first part. The next part is, Iran scored again. The next part is, what good does it do Kenny Pickett to bench him for the rest of the year? So he's learned. He's attempting to get better. I think the first half of the game against Cincinnati indicates he's getting better. Now you pull him out and you go, what, back to Mitch Trubisky? So, A, what does that do for Kenny? I don't think it helps. B, what are you hoping to gain? Well, do you think you're going to win more games with Mitch? And if so, okay, if that's your stance, fine, but what good does winning a lot of games matter now?
Right, exactly. What good does winning mean now? There's nothing to win for at this point, but just to win. And, you know, if you look at both of them, they are kind of neck and neck of performance-wise. And this is the situation to me that the Steelers did not want to get into this year. And this was the, you know, part of the whole plan of letting Kenny Pickett redshirt this year, because they didn't want to have to put him in there and have this situation where he doesn't do well and they have to pull him back out of the lineup and sit him down. That's talk about stunting growth. I mean, that is the absolute definition of stunting growth. You pull a guy out after he has played okay for a rookie, and make him watch. No, he's trial under fire right now. He's learning the tough way of how to do things in the NFL, and that is good in my opinion. Whether he wins or whether he loses, whether he throws interceptions or throws touchdowns, it's all learning experience. You can only learn if you're a part of the learning experience. Sitting there and watching is not a part of the learning experience. It was maybe at a time to get, like, you know, his thought process around of how things move, you know, obviously in OTAs, in training camp, in preseason, in the beginning of the season. It's like, all right, I could kind of figure this out. I could piece this together. All right, this is how you do things. Let's roll. Now, it was time to roll. He was called upon to come in the second half of a game to potentially win the game, to create some juice. I thought he did create juice. But now, if you pull him out, you're reverting back and taking many, many steps back in his development. It would absolutely stunt that. I think that this is just kind of ridiculous, honestly, at the end of the day.
Yeah, I don't get it at all. Just point blank, I don't get it at all. Why you would do that to Kenny Pickett now? If your thought process is don't start him at the beginning of the year and never go to him, I mean, I don't know that I would have agreed with that either, but I think you can make a compelling case for that. Sit him out the whole season, and not because you want him to watch and learn necessarily, though there's an element of that, but because you want to build up a better roster so that next year when he does take over, you've got better players surrounding him. Maybe you've added a left tackle. Maybe you've added another wide receiver. Maybe you've added two offensive linemen. Maybe the defense is better so he doesn't need to win games. I think you can make a compelling argument for that. Let him sit out the year, make the team better around him next year. But to pull him out now, he's already played. He's already taking his lumps. Now, some will make the argument, well, Patrick Mahomes, he watched. Okay, Patrick Mahomes might have come in as a rookie and torn it up. Like, who's to say that guy wouldn't have come in that scheme with those players?
But Alex Smith won, though, was winning.
Well, right. So, like, you know, I wouldn't have done it, but you could – all the – exactly, and there's the big difference, right. Doran. I just – to pull Kenny Pickett out of it now, there's also a confidence element.
Yes.
And you know Kenny Pickett better than I do, obviously. And we're going to talk to Pat Bostic at the end of the hour here at 7:45, and he knows Kenny too. But you take any rookie quarterback who's played – and you set him down, what you're doing is saying you haven't been good enough and we're not willing to go through the lumps with you, which I think sends an awful message to a young quarterback.
An awful message. And you can go around the league, and there's a couple teams right now that have done that. Now, they're not rookie quarterbacks, but Davis Mills getting benched by the Texans. Davis Mills isn't a first-round pick. He wasn't a first-round pick. He's a guy that was just, you know, picked up by the Texans. I could see them benching him. They have nothing to play for, and they're potentially going to draft a quarterback next year. Zach Wilson getting benched. They have something to play for, and they know that their weakest link on their team right now is their quarterback. He was a first-round pick, but they do have a guy who has won a Super Bowl that backs him up. They could go in there and win football games. They have something to play for right now. Kenny Pickett being benched right now is just, I mean, I just, it, he needs to be in there, and he needs to have a complete game, and he will not have a complete game by watching. He will not learn by watching anymore. There was a time that he probably was learning by watching, but he needs to be in there creating a relationship with some of the players, creating a relationship with Najee on the field, creating a relationship with Deontay, who's going to be here for a couple more years on the field, George Pickens, Pat Freiermuth. That is all a part of the development process. If you go back to a guy that you started in the beginning of the year, who's at the tail end of his career, that was a former first-round pick but never really lived up to it, and you said it perfectly, what message are you sending not only Kenny Pickett, the other players on the team?
Yeah, it's a bad one. And Jerry referenced those quarterbacks that you brought up in the piece. And Davis Mills, they were hoping would be good.
Yeah.
But they weren't expecting him to be good. They wanted to find out, and they feel like they found out.
Right.
The difference between Kenny Pickett and Zach Wilson is he wasn't good last year, hasn't been good this year. They're competing for something, and they've seen at times – White performed better last year in his game than Zach Wilson did at any point. Joe Flacco has more touchdown passes in 3 games than Zach Wilson does, I think, in 7 games now. So they've got something to play for. They want to make the playoffs, and they think that the best avenue to get there is by sitting down Zach Wilson, who has a bigger body of work than Kenny Pickett. I think the Steelers probably screwed this all up from the beginning, frankly. You know, Jerry argues that they're screwing it up now. If they had any designs of going to Kenny at any point, they should have just let him start the season then.
Absolutely.
Because he would have then had his chance to develop a relationship with Deontay and George Pickens and Najee Harris and the offensive line and the play caller. He wasn't given a good shot from day one. That's the real sin. Not that Kenny Pickett's playing now, but that he didn't play from the start of the year. And I argued against that to begin with, but that's because I never thought it would get bad enough for them to ever play Kenny.
Right.
But if they had designs on playing Kenny, play him from the start. He's your first-round pick, for goodness sake.
I mean, you know, Crowley, you said that we could peel this back, and let's not even just go back to the start of the year. Let's go back to OTAs. If he's your first-round pick and you have thoughts of him actually potentially starting this year, start him the first day of OTAs.
Yep.
Don't sit him and make him run threes in training camp. He was running with the threes of half of training camp.
Kendrick Green was the starting center last year after playing, like, for the length of a fart,
right,
center at Illinois in college. I mean, you gave that guy a starting job. You gave Najee Harris a starting job. Marquise Pouncey was given a starting job whenever he came in. You can give a rookie a starting job. And I get that he's a quarterback, and so there's a difference there. But if you ever thought Kenny Pickett was going to play this season, give him the best opportunity to succeed, which is not having him play second fiddle to Mitch Trubisky, and even initially third fiddle to Mason Rudolph. Like, he was playing against guys, and we're well-informed people who have covered the Steelers for a long time. He was playing with and against guys that I'm going, all right, let me pull out my roster.
Right.
In training camp.
In training camp.
Like, he had to, it was the second week of training camp before Kenny Pickett got any meaningful reps as the two. So you want to give that guy a chance to succeed, go all the way back then and give him a chance to succeed. I think they've bungled it from that standpoint. But now that you've gone to him,
well, you got to stick with
it. You got to stick with it.
Yeah, absolutely have to stick with him. I mean, even peel him back even more. Look, I personally think that something communication-wise and eye-to-eye-wise was messed up before the draft. Whenever they signed Mitch Trubisky, they signed him before the draft, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they drafted a quarterback. I think that there are people in that building that didn't see eye to eye with the decision making on the Kenny Pickett drafting part and on the Mitch Trubisky drafting part. And it's like, all right, now we have both of them. We got to get our money's worth. We're paying Mitch Trubisky what, $8 million for two years, something like that. $7 million, $6 million, whatever it is. We're paying the guy a lot of money. We got to get our money's worth out of him, even though that we have this rookie first-round quarterback. There has to be something. You have to be on the same page whenever you go through situations like that. And I don't think that either Kevin Colbert or Omar or Kevin Colbert, and you didn't even have Andy Weidel at the time,
right.
Mike Tomlin, like that whole thing, if we really dive deep into Steelers 2022, things were messed up from the start. You know, you waited so long. You waited till after the draft to hire another GM, to hire a co-GM. Like, why not have that person in place to make the decisions that are going to happen this year?
You would have liked Weidel to be a part of that.
Yes.
At least just to be a fly on the wall, to be absorbing it, to know what the Steelers' mindset was. And it would have given him an extra year to see how Mike Tomlin ticks in that draft setting. They screwed that up too, Doran. I'm with you. And I think the big miscalculation was they wanted to win this season. The miscalculation was thinking that Mitch Trubisky gives you a better chance to win than Kenny Pickett. Because are we seeing anything different? Kenny's turned the ball over more than Mitch. I'll give him that. But they were averaging the same number of points per game.
Yep.
It's not like Mitch Trubisky didn't turn the ball over. It's the same thing.
Same thing.
And so you dove into the season as Mike Tomlin thinking, okay, we're going to go with this veteran quarterback. We're going to win with defense. We're going to win with the running game. We're going to win with not turning the ball over. Well, that's what you got out of Kenny Pickett the last 2 weeks is one win, doesn't turn the ball over. Another game where they put up 20 points and a half, and he doesn't turn the ball over. This is also just odd timing from Jerry to write it because, in my opinion, and I think you agree with this, you might even said it first, we're not breaking news here, but I think that the best half of football Kenny Pickett's played was the first half against Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So it's the best he's looked, and now you're saying bench the guy?
Yeah, that's...
Is it going to be linear? Is it going to look like every week he takes the field, he's going to get progressively better? No, he's going to have some setbacks. He's going to have setbacks in one game, and we saw that on Sunday. Just a weird time for him to write that. Very strange.
This is like the second time in the week that Jerry has wrote something about Kenny Pickett. You know, what was the first thing about it? Was the message to veterans that
right.
The winning thing? Like, and then he says that.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm not crushing Jerry right now. I'm just saying what he actually said is that you know, Kenny Pickett's development is being, is not lining up. It actually is lining up for Kenny Pickett's development and asked to win games at the same time. Like,
right.
You know, and now you're saying possibly bench him. Like, I mean, it's
When is Kenny Pickett ever going to have to play his first snaps in the NFL and not also be responsible for winning games?
Right. Like, you know,
it's not all on him.
It's not all on him. It comes in hand in hand. And if Mike Tomlin didn't feel that he wasn't ready for that, he wouldn't have probably put him in the game, and he would have stuck to his game plan of letting Kenny Pickett sit through the season. Once you pull the Band-Aid off, you can't put the Band-Aid back on. It's all soggy. You got to get a new Band-Aid, and that new Band-Aid isn't around this year. The Band-Aid is off. You have to ride with it. You have to, you know, put some salt on that wound whenever you have to kind of heal it up and let it heal on its own. I mean, that's where you're at.
I think the Steelers would be in just about the same position if it were Mason Rudolph,
yep,
or if it were Mitch Trubisky.
Yep.
And if that's the case, you 100% play the young guy, because then you can at least learn something. If you were going to be 3-7 regardless and you're playing Mitch Trubisky, it's a totally wasted year for me. And then you go into next season, and yeah, the roster should be better around Kenny, but you don't know anything about the quarterback that you drafted in 2022. You know nothing. So you might as well play the rookie if you're going to lose either way.
It is. That was just bizarre to me that was said, you know, especially with 7 games left, and especially with teams that are, you know, and we said this in the beginning of the show, Crowley, you know, I expect them to win 4 games the rest of the season out of the 7. And for this to be said now, whenever you have potentially the easiest, no team's easy to play in the NFL, but you have potentially the teams that you could possibly beat and actually possibly do some good things in front of you in Carolina, Atlanta, and Indy, and the Raiders. You know, what is the actual point of sitting Kenny Pickett now whenever he can actually go in there and have a full game on tape?
Yeah, and I would think, especially against the Raiders and Carolina, I mean, this is an opportunity to learn in the NFL, not against Buffalo or Philadelphia.
Right. Like, you learn the hard stuff.
Yeah.
I'll let you go out there and play. Here, Kenny, let's roll the ball out there, go out there and play, and let's see you compete. Let's see you put a full game together. Pat Bostick, we're going to dive in some Pit Talk. Pitt plays Miami tomorrow night in Miami at 8 p.m. on the ACC Network. He joins us at 7:45 here on the Fan Morning Show.
Yeah. Iran beats Wales 2-0 in the World Cup. People are saying that's good for the United States. I don't know why. USA England at 2 p.m. And you got Penn's Flyers tonight at 5:30. Fan headlines powered by Bowser Chevrolet, your Pittsburgh Chevy headquarters. It's Crowley here for the Bet Park Sportsbook and Casino app. It's everything you want in a digital casino and sportsbook. Join Bet Parks with me now. It's the only casino and sportsbook app that I recommend. Go ahead, join me. Bet Penn's hockey. Bet the black and gold every week. Bet all your favorite college teams live in-game betting. You can bet on the action as it happens. Download the Bet Parks app right now. New users can get up to $750 in sportsbook bonus back if your first bet is not a winner. BetParks.com's got all the terms and conditions, sportsbook and casino, all in one amazing app. You can bet more than the score. Bet on player performances like who scores touchdowns, points, rebounds, assists, goal scores, and more. BetParks Sportsbook and Casino app where odds, bets, slots, and games all come together right in your pocket. Join me with BetParks right now. Must be 21 and present in Pennsylvania or New Jersey. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Crowley, every single wide receiver that's ever played the game of football, especially at the college or NFL level, will say that they are always, always open.
I didn't really know they did stuff like that, but I took that, you know, it's a compliment to me. Just my work, you know, shows that I work hard and what I do good at. I'm putting it on film consistently, and it's really no secret. It's just working and believing in yourself. You know, all that comes from within. So I'm real big on confidence. And every time I step to the line, I always got a game plan. If they stopped that one, I got another counter move for it. So I'm all for it, you know what I'm saying? So when it comes to that, I'm always ready and willing to work and willing to get better each and every day.
You know, that was Deontay Johnson talking about, you know, how he is, what, in the top two of wide receivers in the league, Crowley, that is the most open wide receivers?
Yeah, A.J. Brown is the most open receiver in football, according to some next-gen stats, and Deontay Johnson is the second most wide open receiver in football on an average of the percentage of amount of times he's open. I don't know. I'm getting myself all twisted up there. The average of blah, blah, blah. He's open a lot. And he says he didn't know that, according to the statistics, but he felt like he had been open. I think it's just a matter of time before Kenny starts looking for him and they develop a relationship. I mean, you can speak to this way better than I can, obviously, but, I mean, that relationship between the wide receiver or the target and the quarterback, I mean, that's something that can't just be developed overnight.
Right. This is like a situation where, a felon says, it commits a crime and says, I'm not guilty. It's like, you know, when people say they're not guilty. But in this situation, Deontay Johnson, it's usually receiver saying, I'm always open, and they're not really always open. You know, they say they're always open, but Deontay Johnson's actually open the most right. in the league. So, and if you watch how he runs routes, I mean, he creates separation every single time. He has great footwork. Like you said, it's just a matter of time for Kenny Pickett to know that he is a reliable, open target. Sometimes rookie quarterbacks get locked into one guy and don't move their eyes around as much. But I do believe that, Deontay Johnson has that ability to create separation whenever he is running routes. You just pay attention to him. Even if he's not getting the ball, just watch how he gets into out of breaks and watch how he, makes his cuts and things of that nature. It is just, it's really unbelievable. I remember in the summer I was watching his, not highlights, but he put out a clip of him running routes while he was training. And I was like, this guy is unbelievable the way he gets in and out of breaks. I can see why it is so difficult to cover him. So that, honestly, that stat there and, what was told to him, that does not shock me at all. It's just, I think the whole offense as a whole has to put things together. And it doesn't necessarily mean that Matt Canada needs to scheme up different things for Deontay to get open. It's just the sheer fact of, being aware of everything within the offense if you're Kenny Pickett. And those are some things that he's going to have to grow through. I mean, it's tough. It's tough to see everything. It's tough to audible and do all kinds of different things within seconds. So that will come, in my opinion, in Deontay Johnson. He's getting his money's worth, right? I mean, even though he's not catching balls, he's still doing the things that they thought he could do, and that's why he got paid some money to do it. So
yeah, and I do wonder if with the new wave of analytics, and you can see these things on tape, obviously, if he's open as much as the analytics say, even if he's not getting the ball, I wonder when his contract's up, if he continues to run routes at this level, if opposing GMs are even going to care about the statistics at the end of the day, or if they're just going to look at him and evaluate him independent of the quarterback throwing him the ball.
Duncan, the official coffee of the Fan Morning Show. Up next, is there any potential players on the Steelers roster that could later in their life make it to... we'll talk about that next on the Fan Morning Show. Fan Morning Show presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. Crowley semifinalists. We rattled through the names of the semifinalists of the Pro Football Hall of Fame of 2023 yesterday. Man, that list was unbelievable. I mean, that's a lot of competition, a lot of great names. I don't think there was one guy on that list that I didn't recognize. Usually there's a couple of older guys that, I'm like, I have no clue who that guy was. When did he play, 1940-something? No. Like, this list, I was like, yeah, I remember. I remember that. Oh, Darrell. Oh, yeah, okay. This list was star-studded. And we talked earlier, and we put out the Twitter poll yesterday about Hines Ward. Will he potentially make the Hall of Fame, and should he make the Hall of Fame? And most people said no, and I was on that train as well. Just seeing his wide receiver group makes him the least wide receiver to get in the Hall of Fame this year. So, the semifinalists came out, and you asked me this question off air when we were putting the show together. What current Pittsburgh Steeler do we think has the best chance of making it to the Hall of Fame? Now, obviously, there's one that is somewhat definite. I'm not going to say definite, but pretty close to being definite. So let's exclude Cam Hayward out of the deal, because I think that Cam Hayward should be in the Hall of Fame at some point. His career speaks for it. He's played, obviously, the longest out of most of the guys on the team. But let's go outside of Cam Hayward. Who is your first person that comes to mind that could potentially make the Hall of Fame whenever it's all said and done?
Well, I think we should probably exclude T.J. Watt as well.
Absolutely.
Because it's early, but,
yeah, but
I
still.
Mean, geez. I mean, the guy's been up for Defensive Player of the Year award three times. He leads the league in sacks. I mean, he had tied the record last year. I think as long as he stays healthy, T.J. Watt's going to be in the Hall of Fame. After those two, and Cam Hayward should merit at least serious consideration, five-time Pro Bowler, three-time All-Pro. If he gets another All-Pro or two, he's a shoo-in.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no doubt in my mind. So he's got a great opportunity. After that, that's where things get wild.
I know.
I mean, I think that's it. Maybe Minka Fitzpatrick.
Maybe.
I mean, he's got that kind of talent, but you have to put up production from his position.
Like, yeah.
You have to have a lot of picks. You got to be AP first pro, all-team first pro, excuse me. You can't be screwing around. I think that's it. And then you got to take a big, huge, giant leap of faith. And it would have to be projecting things out, unless I'm missing somebody, like Pat Freiermuth.
Right.
And I don't think Pat Freiermuth is going to get there, but he's top five in the league in a lot of different tight end categories. So you got two. You got two, I think, that have a really good shot. You got Minka, who could project to be there. He's got to keep it up. And then after that.
I know.
Dan Moore Jr.?
Yeah. I mean, even the question I asked Shelby, you know, who would be on the Pro Bowl roster this year? It was tough to even come up with that. So I would say maybe Minka, if he does, you know, have this trajectory and keeps it up and keeps being consistent at the safety position. He's the only absolute person that I could absolutely think of. So let's kind of let's expand this a little bit. What team in the NFL has the most most future Pro Bowlers on their roster?
Man.
So to me, what, Kansas City, Kelce and Mahomes?
Yeah, I mean, those guys are locks, right? And then even Tyreek Hill, I would think, will be there one day. And I know he's in Miami now.
But he'll probably be as what do you go in as?
Ooh, Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, you go in as yourself as a player.
It's not like baseball where you have the hat in your bust, right? Where you got to pick the team that you go in as. Thanksgiving. I'm still struggling here, Dorian. Losing the voice.
You're good.
It's going. Like, Tyreek Hill played math. Tyreek Hill played 6 years in Kansas City. So he's 28 right now. So I don't know which team he'll go in on. But, I mean, his numbers are gaudy. He's put up some big time numbers. 7,778 receiving yards already. You know, Hines Ward is something around 10,000, right? Maybe a little bit more than that. Tyreek Hill already. And this year, through 10 games, he's got 1,200 yards.
Whew.
So those numbers are only going to become more and more, you know, inarguable for a guy like that to be in the hall. So there's three guys there. Tampa.
I was going to say Tampa, too.
I mean, you got Brady.
Julio.
You got Julio.
That's maybe Mike Evans.
Yes. And then you've got Devin White. I mean, he's early, but you win a Super Bowl MVP, right? Or he played like a Super Bowl MVP. Did he win the Super Bowl MVP?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. But he played like it, right? I mean, he was a big, big piece of that run. I mean, there's some guys right there. I mean, you look in the division. You know, Patrick Mahomes, or not Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. I think he's going to wind up in there one day.
Yep.
He's an interesting case study, though.
I think he will.
I do, too. With, I mean, he's won an MVP.
Right.
Right. And I think he might win another one. Here's the thing about Mahomes. You see with LeBron James. LeBron James could be the MVP every year in the NBA.
Right.
But there's LeBron James fatigue. They go with somebody else. Who else had a great year besides LeBron? Let's put that guy. I wonder if the same thing is going to keep happening to Mahomes. Like, we always have, who's going to win the MVP this year? Well, Patrick Mahomes should probably win it every year. So I wonder if you're not going to see as many MVPs for Mahomes. And because of that, Lamar Jackson, maybe he gets another one.
Right.
Joe Burrow maybe at some point.
Right. I could probably say I the most on a team in the NFL, to me, may be the Rams. The Rams, Stafford, now he has a Super Bowl. I think the Stafford gets in, obviously Aaron Donald and maybe Cooper Kupp. How do you feel about that one?
Cooper Kupp, the season he had last year, was one of the best, if not the best, seasons of all time.
Right.
And I would think this is a step back here. I wonder how long, though. I think this matters how long McVay's going to be there.
Yeah.
Because I think Stafford's going to get in because he was missing that ring, and I think people give him a benefit of the doubt being in Detroit for so long because he did put up still great numbers there. Cooper Kupp, to have continued success, Stafford's nearing the end of his career.
Mm-hmm.
So I think keeping McVay around and interested in scheming up a great offense obviously hasn't happened this year. I think that's key for Cooper Kupp getting in.
Maybe Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like that they're Ross. I feel like they have the most potential to have the most Hall of Fames with current rosters right now. But any other team out there, I just can't really wrap my mind around.
I had too much turkey to think this hard this morning.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought it would be a good exercise.
It is.
I thought it would be good, but you know what?
Exercising is hard, though.
You're shooting it down. What about the Eagles? They have Dominican Sue, Brandon Graham. Mm-mm. Kelsey, the center.
Oh, I think he's in.
Yeah.
I think he's in. A.J. Brown one day. I mean, a lot of these guys, you have to extrapolate out. But Jason Kelsey's definitely in. Lane Johnson's had a good career. Fletcher Cox. Javon Hargrave? Yeah.
Nah. He should be here still.
He should. Did they screw that one up, didn't they?
They've been screwing a lot of stuff up.
They did. I mean, and we're probably going to get into this later, right, with the free agency talk. But, boy, Stephon Tuitt, he was such an animal when healthy. But you have to factor in the injuries there. And you should pick the young guy who's still on the up and up, I think. I think they bungled that.
You know what? You know a guy that doesn't screw stuff up? Pat Bostic.
Mm.
That's my man right there. He comes up next on the Fan Morning Show.
Yeah! Fan headlines powered by Bowser Chevrolet, your Pittsburgh Chevy headquarters. Penguins Flyers tonight at 5:30. USA England in the World Cup at 2. For more, go to 93.7thefan.com.
You can text us the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Thorne Dickerson here with Adam Crowley to close out the week. Colin Dunlap, Chris Mack, they are on vacation. The kids are still here. We're doing it. We're almost halfway through the show. Joining me right now is my man, Pat Bostic, former Pitt quarterback, current color analyst for the Pitt football team. Pat, Crowley said he drove past your house yesterday and looked like you were throwing a banger. You had the TV going outside, watching some football. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
We had a great Thanksgiving, man. I hope you did, too.
I did. I sat back. I relaxed, watched some ball, had some good turkey, got my mind right for this weekend. We leave at 5 p.m. today for Miami, and, you know, this is a needed win for this Hurricanes team against Pitt. I mean, you know, they are looking to be bowl eligible. They need this game. They only have 5 wins on the season. Tyler Van Dyke could potentially be back in this game. They know how much they need him. How important is Tyler Van Dyke to this Miami team? I mean, Miami's had such an up and down year, but they absolutely need this win tomorrow night.
Yeah, they do. You know, bowl eligibility is a big deal, especially for a program with a first-year head coach, you know, Mario Cristobal, back for his first year at his alma mater, and to get those extra practices and opportunities to get to know these players and so forth is critical. Obviously, you got seniors, Will Mallory, their tight end, playing his last game, so you know they'll be ready to go. And you know, Tyler Van Dyke, I think, is I don't think you can put really a price tag on his value to that football team. They really haven't been the same since he got hurt. They had some struggles early, obviously, even when he was playing, and you can attribute that to kind of a new offense, I think, and a new new scenery, if you will. But he's a game-changing type of quarterback. His ability to throw the ball from the pocket, and when Ja'Cory Brown's in there, it's for the Pitt defense, it's a totally different game plan because of his ability to run. So it'll be interesting to see who's playing quarterback. And, you know, I'm not sure, Pitt's played a lot of games this year, Syracuse being one of them, where you didn't know who was going to play. This is different because, you know, whether it's Van Dyke or Brown or Garcia, it's a totally different approach defensively because of the mobility differences.
You know, this is an important game for Pitt, too. Three game winning streak that they're on now. They finish the season if they beat Miami tomorrow night, 8-4, definitely salvaging the season because you didn't know what direction it was going to go, especially after the Georgia Tech loss. This is an important game. Now, let's say Pitt does win, and we obviously hope that they win tomorrow night, what bowl is Pitt potentially looking at? Do you have any idea of where they could land next month?
Yep. No, I think it's obviously everyone will find out on the Sunday after the ACC championship. But, you know, I do think, an eighth win and is much different than, being 7-5. Obviously, the difference, being 4-0 in November and all the talking points I think this team wants to be able to say once that game, concludes tomorrow night. But, the way the ACC works with standings, there is a tiered system to the bowl games. And it's a two-game rule. So if you have a two-game lead over anybody in the standings, they can't jump you for a bowl bid. Obviously, getting to 8-4 will be a huge difference for Pitt in terms of some of those 6-6 ball clubs that could potentially maybe have a better, closer to a bowl game or what have you. So I think if you win, and obviously that's the goal and it's important to do so, you have better potential to go to someplace warm, Orlando, Tampa, whether it's the Gator Bowl, the Cheez-It Bowl. Obviously, if you're unable to win, I think the prospects of warmth dwindle a little bit.
Pat, whenever you were sitting down to watch the tape and you saw what Miami did in the first half against Clemson, I mean, is that as bad an offensive tape as you can remember watching?
Yeah, it was hard to watch. I mean, especially because I know how much talent they have. They've really struggled up front, Adam. They've had a lot of injuries to their offensive line. They've had, a couple guys go into the – well, you can't go into the portal till December 1st, but they went into the portal actually it's December 5th. They can go into the portal, but they've declared they're going to transfer. And the quarterback situation, obviously, Ja'Cory Brown's not a proven passer. He's much more of a runner. But yes, they struggled to get out of their own way. And, certainly Clemson's pretty good on defense. They didn't make things any easier on them.
Pat, you know what? Everybody, Miami is a destination spot. It's a vacation spot. I love Miami. I mean, warm weather. It doesn't get any better than traveling to Miami. But all I keep hearing is, and people know that I am on the sidelines during the game. You're up in the booth with Bill Hillgrove, the great Bill Hillgrove. Larry, Richard, and myself are on the sidelines during the game. But all I keep hearing is about this whole booth situation at Miami.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, to be honest, we're in the end zone, so it's literally we're in the corner of the back of the end zone. So it's a very different perspective. It's tough to get depth perception. I love watching tape from a high angle, from the end zone, just because you see things develop. But when you're not exactly that high, it's difficult to get a feel for what's going on in the game and, whether it's a 6-yard run or a 25-yard run. Obviously, there's some obvious ones that make it easy, but they chose to put the radio squads in a not too good vantage point. So we'll make do, man. And we're fortunate to have you and Larry Bird dogging on the sideline. We'll rely on you guys more than ever.
Pat, are you going to hit the links tomorrow down to Miami?
There's a high likelihood. Yeah, there's a high likelihood. Yeah, I got them packed up, so we'll.
Nice.
I don't want to divulge my whereabouts. There's a good chance I'm going to be playing golf.
Ah, nice, love it. Hey, Pat, thank you. I will see you in a few hours from now.
Yeah, we'll see you on the charter, man. Thanks for having me.
Sounds good. Thanks, Pat. There he goes, Pat Bostic. He's your favorite, huh, Crowley?
I wish I didn't like Pat Bostic, but I do. He's a very nice man.
He is.
He's probably creeped out that I know exactly where he lives, but that's just me being a creepy guy like I am.
Yeah, you are creepy. That's
if,
all right.
If it was like 15 years ago and I knew where Pat Bostic lived, things might have been a little different. Things might have been in his yard, given what he did to me.
Yeah.
But I like that guy. Very nice man. We already talked about it the other day.
Mm-hmm.
A Dickerson Bostic ticket in the 2024 presidential election. I'm voting for Dickerson Bostic.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. You could work with us.
That's right. I'm going to be the ambassador to Ireland.
Yes. There we go. It's perfect. Twitter brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township, or visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Matt Canada had some comments yesterday, didn't he? Yeah, we're going to have to talk about that a little bit next. I mean, I know that we bring up Kenny Pickett a lot. I know we bring up Matt Canada a lot. But those are really the focal points on what the season has really transpired into this year. There was talks that Matt Canada could potentially be on his way throughout the season at some point. But it's looking like they're going to stick with him till the end of the season and probably reevaluate what's going on with the offensive coordinator with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But he had some comments yesterday. We'll dive into that next. Here is some weather for you. High in the 48. Fan weather, high of 48, excuse me. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet for a great deal on a new or pre-owned vehicle and great service. You'll find it at Sun Chevrolet.
That's the weather.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.